Amen. That's appropriate words for the time after Epiphany, because Epiphany means revealed, and we shine light during Epiphany, and so that's a wonderful message for this time of year. And it's great to be in the house of the Lord. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. I'm grateful to you for being here this morning. I see a lot of people who are back from being sick and people who are out from probably still being sick. It's been a rough year so far since Christmas. We've had a rough time. But I am grateful to all of you for being here in the house of the Lord to worship God today. Let's greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Good morning, Calvary. Yay, third time's a charm. Welcome this morning. If you would turn to, my name, Diane Rood. I will be your liturgist for today. And I'm so happy to be here in all of the sicknesses that are going on. If you would turn to the announcements in the inside of the bulletin, calendar for the week. You can read all of the different things, but one thing I want to point out is there is a council meeting tonight at 6, and you don't have to be a chair of any committee. Just everyone is encouraged to come to know what's going on in the home of the Lord. Yes, Bob. Six, yes. And Fran also has an announcement.
A switch to Head and Shoulders? No, wrong one. Thank you. Your kind donations resulted in over 100 cans of food, over $125 in cash for our food pantry. Thank you. And just to update you on the organization, Super Bowl of Caring, since they first started in 1990, today they have collected $100 million. So thank you for your part. And here's the part you guys can be really proud of. Of 23 denominations that donated to this cause, the United Methodist was the highest giving at 17%. So thank you guys for making that happen. Thank you.
And I'd like to do a shout out to the youth. Friday night we had our dinner, and Beth, if there was a prize, she would have gotten the prize for bringing the most youth with her to help serve. And it was a wonderful dinner and a wonderful time of fellowship. Thank you. Yes, Beth, Barbara. That's right, I forgot about that. Yay. Amen. 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 If you turn to the back of your bulletin, we'll start with the opening words. We gather to pray together and to praise our God. We gather to sing and to lift up our voices to God. We gather to follow Jesus Christ, our Lord. Come, let us join together in worship.
Please stand and turn to 545 in your hymnals, and we'll sing The Church's One Foundation. Verses 1, 3, and 5. We will have our affirmation of faith. We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort.
We believe
rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us that all may have enough, in all responsible use of the earth's resources.
Glory be to God on high, and on our earth peace.
We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten human existence, through the abuse of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it.
Lord have mercy. Christ have mercy. Lord have mercy.
We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come.
Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
What I want to talk to you about is the fact that we get angry. But God wants us to be very careful with our anger. It's normal and natural to lose our temper sometime. And what God says is, don't let our anger control us. We control our anger. And sometimes that's so hard to do, we can't do it by ourselves. We have to ask for help. We have to say, God, help me. I can't do this by myself. And guess what? God will help you. If you ever feel so angry that you want to do something, you better stop for a minute and say, God, can you help me? And then you won't let the anger control you. It's very important that when we get angry, we take responsibility for our behavior when we're angry. And I want you to know that God will help you do that. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. Can you pray with me? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and say, thank you, God, for all your many good gifts. We pray your blessing of love on all of us here, especially on the children, because you love them so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now we can get some candy. Here we go. Take a piece, and then let somebody else come. There you go. Ashton, get your piece. All right. Everybody get a piece. We continue to worship and praise our God this morning with the giving of our gifts, our tithes, and offerings. If I could invite the ushers to come forward. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving God, we come to you in prayer today to acknowledge and thank you for your goodness to us. And we pray, O God, that you will use what we bring and who we are for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of his brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love.
And that song really hit me today. Thank you. It's true. It's true. And it's good news. It's good news. Well, we come to God now, and I would like us to spend a few moments in silent prayer and prepare your hearts how you would prepare your hearts to talk with God. Bow your heads and close your eyes. And take some deep breaths to kind of tune out everything around you, even your husband or wife sitting next to you, or your child or grandchild, your sister, your brother, your friend. And let yourself hear the word of God speaking to you. Because amazing grace is yours. And if you feel called to do so, lift up someone by name or a place in the world or a situation in life that you feel needs to have God's healing grace in their lives today. Sharon Harris, Rosemary Googler, God, there are just so many needs. They sometimes seem overwhelming to us. But there is no need that you cannot touch with your love. There is no problem or issue or illness or pain that you cannot be worked in for your good and healing touch. And so we just have to praise you. We just have to thank you for your goodness to us when we are brought so low. Open us up to your grace today. Move us and inspire us to be your people in this time and in this place, sharing the love of God outside our walls, that the world too may know of your great love. And we pray your blessing upon all those who need it today. Give them some strength, some comfort, some hope, but most of all, your love. And help us to be your people when we pray together the prayer you taught us when we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you would please stand and look through the screen behind me, we will sing Cry of My Heart.
Say, I know you had a hard time reading that screen for the words, and all of us up here are holding these black books. If we had enough to buy for the congregation, we would, but we don't. We need these books so that we don't have to look at that screen and look around like that. So my little advertisement.
Okay, it's on. Okay, if you will follow along, Matthew 5:21-37. You have heard it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you are liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your body members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head. You cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Perfect. I'm getting over the remnants of the stuff that's been going around, so I will do my best not to cough too loudly into the microphone. So say a little prayer. Now, day after tomorrow, we'll be celebrating Valentine's Day. It's a wonderful day to celebrate love. And in schools, well, we're going to do it right after church today, our children are, but in schools across the country, we have little children cutting out paper hearts and writing notes and passing, exchanging cards with their friends. And I know all of you remember doing that in school, and some of your children and grandchildren are doing that. If only love were that easy and simple. I'd like to go back to those days. But Matthew moves us quickly from the sayings of Jesus that are nice sayings, like blessed are the poor in spirit, and you are the salt of the earth, which we talked about last week, to the hard sayings of Jesus, things like Diane read for us, if you say you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. You will never get out till you have paid the last penny. Things like that. I liked the nice Jesus better. It's so much simpler to believe, hey, I'm a pretty good person. I mean, I have never killed anybody. And as a forensic television fan, forensic science television fan, I agree that not having killed anybody is is a good thing. And so did everybody who was listening to Jesus. But for most people, not committing murder is a pretty low bar. And I like low bars. That's great. They're easier to get over. But the high bars, that's a different story. They require me to pay attention to my own words and my anger. Stuff usually that no one else can see but me, and oh yeah, God. God can see it as well. The way I look at it, it seems that Jesus in these verses is trying to help us to get behind the rules that were laid down in God's commandments. Why is it important, for example, to understand our anger that makes us mad enough to kill? And by the way, killing can come in many different forms. There are many different ways to kill somebody, like sabotaging a reputation, poisoning a relationship, or even purposely causing someone to suffer is a way of killing them. And your anger has just crossed the line. Perhaps, though, Jesus is not that interested in how well we attend to a checklist of things. Okay, I didn't commit adultery today, I must be okay. Rather, I think the Lord desires that we dig a little deeper, or a lot deeper, and discover, you know, why we can't get rid of this grudge that we've had that has kept us from speaking to a fellow church member, or the envious way we wish we could trade lives with a well-to-do sibling or a classmate, something like that. How hard is it to face the feelings that lie just beneath the surface of our lives? And how important is it that we open up these sensitive areas to the scrutiny of the Spirit and our own self-consciousness? So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. I attended a funeral service many years ago now for a friend, where my deceased friend had asked the congregation to sing a song called "Don't Bring Me Flowers When I'm Dead," which is kind of an unusual song to sing at a funeral, I guess, but it reflected his simple and straightforward way of dealing with people. I could tell some people in the congregation at that funeral service were kind of wondering about it and looking around at each other, puzzled by it. The song describes a tradition that's carried on in small mountain churches in Appalachia. And it's called the flower service. And this is what the flower service is. Everyone on that day brings a bouquet of flowers, not an arrangement from a florist, but from your garden or from the side of the road or from the fields. And they place them on a table in front of the pulpit. And then the minister preaches on Matthew 5, 23 and 24, stressing the need for harmony and peace in the congregation, and reminding people of the Lord's admonition to make peace with our neighbor before kneeling to pray. And after the sermon, an amazing thing happens. It's like a passing of the peace, just like we do. But what they do is everybody grabs their flowers, and then they go to every other person in the church to apologize for any hurt feelings, harsh words, or misunderstandings. From the oldest person to the youngest person, everyone talks to everyone else. They don't care how long it takes. And after apologies are spoken and words of forgiveness, they exchange flowers, sealing the restoration of their relationship, and then moving on to another brother or sister in Christ and exchanging flowers again. This practice, very moving, I would think, is a spiritually wise thing to do. It comes out of an understanding of what Jesus is trying to say here in this lesson. He's trying to dig beneath the surface to get at the importance of being genuine and transparent in God's community that we call church. For the writer of Matthew's gospel, it is unimaginable for people who profess to be Christian and followers of Christ on the surface only. So, here at church, there is to be no walking about with deep resentments against others festering inside. While on the surface, we act as if nothing is happening. We are not only not to murder, we are to deal with our anger appropriately and honestly. There's to be no secret lust driving our life. If you have that problem with that sort of thing, Jesus says, acknowledge it and get help for it. All throughout this text, Jesus' words are about dropping the pretense and dealing with real problems of being in relationship and community by being honest, straightforward, and humble with each other. That brings me back to this song called "Don't Bring Me Flowers at My Funeral." Now, my friend who died was not a perfect man, but he was probably one of the most honest men that I've known. And it was his conviction that if we would tell each other the truth and honestly deal with one another at all times, we would have very little need for remorse or regret. If you need to make peace with me, the song says, bring the flowers now. As in the funeral service, don't hold on to your grudge and then salve your conscience with a nice spray at my funeral. Do it now. This is the call of the text on us today. Do it now. Live by the kingdom values now. Straighten out your life now. Make peace with others now. Because the kingdom of God is here and now. The Spirit of God will give you strength for whatever changes you need to make. You just need to do it now. The love of Christ is forgiving you and inviting you to forgive others. Do it now. Now. Right now. Amen.
Where are the flowers?
Mm-hmm.
Let's stand and turn in our hymnals to number 557 and sing, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds.
Because those words from Jesus are pretty strongly worded to us, and it's nice to have a conclusion with a little bit of grace. And, you know, we are not perfect people, even Amen. Here, even Amen. Within these walls, much less outside of these walls. And we need to be able to be honest with our neighbors and friends. Do you know why? Well, not only because it leads to reconciliation, but it also leads to reconciliation with God. Because we cannot hide those things from God. Our life is an open book to God. And we may sometimes think He doesn't know, but He does.
Amen.
But He's also extending you the grace of forgiveness, the grace of being able to start again, the grace of being able to have another chance and another chance and another chance. And I hope as you leave this place that you will know the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. May He rest and abide with you now and always. Go in His peace. Amen.
Amen.